And I was reflecting upon what verse to bring to you this morning. And in my heart, for some reason, has been Psalm 73:28. And we are going to read it together this morning. Our text is from Psalm 73. I'm going to be sharing with you Psalm 73, but this is our text this morning. Shall we read together? Psalm 73, verse 28 is on the screen. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. This morning, the title or something that I want to share with you is about being real with God. Being real with God. Let us pray before we continue. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we gather around your word, may your Holy Spirit help us to understand a bit more about you and less about us. Thank you for what we declare we believe. Help us to hear your word and later to respond with a covenant with one another and with you. So we place into your hands our time together because we come in the name of Jesus. Amen. The person who wrote this psalm is Asaph, a worship leader under King David. He is a godly man gifted in music and to worship the Lord. He is the writer of 12 Psalms. And for those of you who don't think we should get real with God about how we are feeling, this song will stand in plain contrast to your view. This guy is real with God. This psalm is very real and personal. Asaph, as he revealed his struggle with the things he's seeing around. Perhaps you have been there before. I have been visiting some people and seeing some friends and says, Freddie, have you asked the question why? Why do you go through difficult situations in your life? Have you asked that question? I know I have at times. I find it so helpful that I can go to God's word and find other real people who had similar struggles. And as we start this new year, as we read this psalm, we can relate to some of the things the writer of this psalm is experiencing. And the first thing he experienced here in verse 1 says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. We declared last Sunday with the puppets, God is good. So God is good to those who are pure in heart. So if you are a Christian, you have been probably been thought that and believed that God is good. I have been intellectually, I understand this is true. Maybe you are not a Christian here today and you don't not necessarily believe that, but let me tell you something. Whether you are a Christian or not, everyone has a struggle at some point when you say, if God is good, why this is happening? Here we have a worship leader under the great King David struggling with the same things. He says in verse 2, Psalm 73, verse 2 says, but he knows that God is good, but as for me, my feet had almost slid. I have nearly lost my foothold. But God, I am struggling here. I almost stopped following you. Understand that this is a godly man. Maybe you have experienced this. Maybe you are experiencing this right now. Your family is in trouble. You are praying for something for years. If you get anything today, I want you to know that you are not alone. I am not alone in feeling, but we need to be open. And perhaps the question is, what causes us to stumble in our journey of life? is the same things that this writer, Asaph, is struggling with. Notice that the root of the problem is maybe what he believes in his mind or what he's seeing around. We see around injustice. We see the news, the earthquakes, the string weather, the poor people suffering, what people are suffering here and then in Syria. Well, the problem is either what Asaph believes in his heart, in his mind, or what he's seeing around. And he, as we carry on reading verse 3, we start having a clue why he's struggling. Verse 3, go with me to verse 3, Psalm 73, verse 3 says, "For I envy the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Asa saw the wicked and the things they had, and he envied them. He coveted. He coveted their life. He said, "Well, why these evil people seems to be okay, and we have holy people, good people suffering?" In Exodus, we read the commandments. It says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, maid servants, men servants, the dogs, the donkey." And this is exactly what Asaph is doing. Coveting. He envy what he's seeing on these people's life. And let me tell you something. Seeing, some people don't want to talk about seeing, but seeing is simply pushing God out the place he has reserved for himself. That is sin. We push God out. And now, when we are in that situation, we start seeing life through the eyes of sin. God doesn't have the place he should have. We start seeing life through the perspective of Satan, the enemy of our souls, our lives. Now, let's carry on reading, because we can see his struggle. Verse 4 and 5, he said, "They have no struggles, their bodies are healthy and strong, they are free from common human burdens, they are not plagued by human ills." Now, it appears that everything is okay for these people. Everything is all right. They don't have any struggles, their marriage is perfect. Look at all they have, the way they live, and they are doing good. Is there really a God that allows them to live disregarding him, and they live the good life? And then, "I am struggling. I try to follow you, Lord. I am in worship. I live worship in your temple. Lord, I am here trying to obey you, and I am suffering." That's what he's saying. Perhaps things come to his mind. Says, "If you get rid of the wife or husband you have and got yourselves a better one, your life will be better too. If you stop being that kind of holy or that kind of servant of God, you will be okay." But the reality is not there. They are lies. Those are lies. They may have a better health, they may have more fame, but the lie is that they have no problems. They do have problems. How many of you have struggles in life? I have. So welcome to the club. But look at him. When sin creeps into our lives, we now open ourselves to the deception of Satan to believe the lies that he tells us. And he carries on. When you read this psalm, he said, "Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imagination have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice, with arrogance. They threaten oppression." He carries on being real with God. And he, let's carry on reading. Verse 9, Psalm 73, verse 9 said, "Their mouths they cling to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance." Then they say, "How will God know? Does the Most High know anything?" This is what the wicked are like, always free of care, They go on amassing wealth. They are doing whatever they want to do. But the thing is that we have a distorted view. When we start seeing life that way, we have a distorted view. But Asaph don't see that. You know what he says to the Lord? Surely in vain I have kept my pure heart and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted. He's real. He said, Lord, I'm feeling this way. And every morning brings new punishment. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. It troubles me deeply. Asaph is saying, it is not worth it. I strive to live pure and a holy life. And what does it lead? Well, I am in pain. I am in trouble. I am in confusion, said the writer of this psalm. The unrighteous live an ungodly life. And what is it that they have? Fame, fortune, they are okay? It's not worth it. He has a distorted view. But why a distorted view? Because the truth is, though, that our view is distorted, this seems to be the truth, but it's not the truth. If we are in that problem, in that situation, what causes us to stand firm in our journey of life? How can we stand firm? Well, I like the following verses. So I invite you to read with me verse 16 and 17 of Psalm 73. Let's read together, because this is when he starts seeing differently. Let's read. Something happened right there. He's seeing and understanding all this. He is troubled until he entered into the sanctuary of God. And when we do that, we enter in God's presence and we start seeing life through the perspective of God. So God lets Asaph into his presence. He begins to exercise his faith and he starts seeing things in the way God see things, through the eyes of faith. And now what he does is that he understands the eternity of the wicked. We understand the eternity of the wicked. Okay, in verse 17 it says, till I enter the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you rise, arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasy. Nothing that at the beginning, he starts seeing that they are doing okay. But suddenly he realized that he almost failed, but they are going down. In the Bible, we have examples of great men. We have Daniel. He's serving, in the king, with the king. He has a high position, and yet he decided to follow the Lord. Nehemiah, we read about Nehemiah. Moses, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. He says, I want to follow the Lord. He starts seeing life through the eyes of faith. Moses says he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a short time. The wicked will enjoy for a short time, but their eternity is condemnation. That is what we start seeing through the eyes of faith. But not only that. So the first thing we start seeing is through the eyes of faith, we see the perspective of the sovereign Lord. But the second thing is that we need We start understanding our sinfulness. We start understanding our own sinfulness. In Psalms 73, verses 21 and 22, we read that he says, "When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you." Asaph saw his envy, saw his sin, and repented. As believers, we realize our sinfulness, so we repent. And we need to follow perhaps Asaph's example. He saw his envy. In his case, it's the envy. He said, "Oh, they are doing okay. Why they are having this and I'm not having it? Why is that and I'm not having it?" He repented. We need to get closer to God. And for us, sometimes we blame other people, but we don't see our own sinfulness. Repentance is necessary. We need to get closer to God only when we repent. As we come into this new year, let's examine areas of our life that perhaps need to be addressed. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." But you know, the problem is that people want to do whatever they want. And it looks like that's the right thing to do. I remember 5 years ago, I was helping, you know, I went to a charity shop, do you like to go to charity shops? Oh, yeah. And I was there and I was observing people and there was a man who appears to be a homeless, so he was a little bit drunk, okay, but I was watching and it was a time like this, it was December. And I was looking around and, you know, you could go to charity shops and there is something that costs £300, they will sell you for £80. So. And that was a nice jacket. I like it. I said, "Oh, I cannot afford that." You know, it's still the charity shop, it costs £70. But that jacket easily will cost £300. And there were other jackets, £10, £15. And now the guy took which one? The £70 one. And he went to the till and said, "I want this jacket." You know, knowing a very nice way, he demanded. And they said, "I cannot pay it. I need it. I have call." And so the lady called the manager, I suppose. The manager came and he said, "Okay, I understand." I said, "Well, I will pay for it." So he got £3 in his pocket. "But I need it. This is what I want." He said, "Look, you could get, but look, there's a £20 one, £50 one. There was another one, a little bit. You can take that for free. But that one, you cannot have it because we need to raise money for charity." He was rude. And he was escorted out. That is sometimes our attitude with God. We want God to accommodate ourselves to ourselves. We want God to do the things that we want him to do. Asaph realized that he was wrong. And he carries on in verse 23, says, "Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand." The moment we repent, God will come and help us. "You guide me with your counsel. Who are having heaven by you? My flesh and my heart will fail, but God is the strength of my heart. You are my rock." But after he enters into the temple of God and he repented. Verse 27 says, "Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you." The question is, how do we go about keeping close to God? Okay, we repent and we try to do things well, but we stumble. How many of you sometimes we want to do right and we do it wrong? Listen, we try to do it and we do it wrong. How do we go about keeping close to God? Let me finish this morning sharing with you three things. This is not perfect. Based on Psalm 73 verse 28. The first thing is that we need to consider what keeps us going, and it's prayer. It's prayer. So let's read this part, what is there in Psalm 73 verse 28. Let's read together. But as for me, how we get closer to God? Prayer. This year, let us pray. Prayer is not trying to get God to do our will, like the homeless guy, like this drunk person in that charity shop. He wanted to do it his way. He was about to receive a very good jacket. He wanted the other one. Prayer, it is getting our will into line with his will. That is what the psalmist did. But as for me, it is good to be near to God. But the second thing is this. We do it constantly by reading, engaging with, and applying the Bible. That's it. Shall we read this one? I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. You know, here I can tell about refuge when it's cold and raining. You know, and if you have a refuge, you are not going to be like that, isn't it? You go in and you are in. Some people try to, our refuge is the Bible. This book, every single letter of this book is our refuge. But some people want to be like that. Refuge is refuge. A nuclear attack or something. Those refuge, you go in. That's what the psalmist is saying. I have made you my refuge completely. We believe completely. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Sometimes I have been in services that the preacher seems to be speaking to me all the time. I hate him. No. That's you know, you see what he's saying. That's the word of God penetrating. And it's my duty to respond or not. He made God his refuge. Charles Spurgeon. This is not me. Oh, Freddie says this. No, this is Charles Spurgeon. He says this. I love these quotations about the Bible. He says, I will recommend you either believe God up to the hilt or else not to believe it at all. Don't believe it. Believe this book of God, every letter of it, or else reject it. Don't leave some room. No, believe it. It's your refuge. It's my refuge. When I don't understand things in my life. There is no logical standing between the two, said Charles Spurgeon. Be satisfied with nothing less than a faith that swims in the deeps of divine revelation, a faith that paddles about the edge of the water is poor faith at best. It is little better than a dry line faith and is no good for much. This new year, let us pray. Let us allow the Bible to be our refuge. And the final thing is that let's share with others. When we share, there is a wonderful thing that happened. Let's give testimony what God is doing in your life, in my life. That is what the psalmist says. I will tell of all you did. May this church be a church like that. That we pray that this is our refuge and we tell others. God is good. Even when life doesn't seem fair. Maybe you are here today and are still not understanding. You are still not feeling like you are standing firm. You need to enter into the sanctuary of God. You need to come into his presence so that you can see through the eyes of faith. God has brought you here to hear this message. God has brought me here to hear this message this morning. Come today into his presence as we pray, as we make a covenant this morning. If you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is the first thing you need to do, to come into God's presence. How we are to come into God's presence is by repentance, when we confess that we are sinners and we need Him. And if you are a member of this church and you are a Christian, and as you start this new year, ask God, like the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Know me, Lord, and forgive me. As God shows you any sin that you may have or may be there, be prepared to confess it, to repent, and be cleansed. The psalmist resolved to draw near to God, to stay close to Him so that he could see life steadily. As we go into this new year, let's make this our resolution too. Happy New Year. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all you did.